Davis needs to play center. 1, 2, 3, 1. When he plays at the five, the Lakers dominate. You can hear.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Lebatard. That's Pablo Torre and Mina Kimes. Let's get started.
It was actually Gude Tama, not Mina Kimes.
Just when you think he's not listening.
Did the Lakers, and also I guess the Bucks, prove to you that they're back on track?
All right, let's talk about the Lakers first, because we all expect the Bucks to beat the Orlando Magic. The Lakers are the story of the day. If they had lost yesterday, it would have felt a little bit apocalyptic. But here's where we are with some of this. In game one, it was an obvious outlier aberration game. They shot really poorly on wide open threes where people were 6 feet away from them, missing against the bad defense. And they were historically bad in data tracking when it came to transition and missing shots in transition. Those two things weren't going to continue happening. But what happened last night is why LeBron James and the Lakers and everyone went out and got Anthony Davis. Go be the fountain of youth for me on the days that I cannot carry us as I get later and later in my career. Anthony Davis was that. It's not a big deal because they should beat this team anyway, especially with Lillard out. But for one night at least, he was what he was supposed to be.
So you're just not going to talk about the Bucks? You're just going to ignore that part of the question, Dan? The national media, folks, we only care about the Lakers. I'll talk about both. There are a couple things that happened, or many things that happened yesterday, that probably won't happen again. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going 4 for 6 from three. As much as I would love playoff KCP, to be a thing, probably not going to be a thing. Orlando's probably not going to shoot, 12% from outside in the first quarter again. But there were things that happened that should always happen with these two particular teams, which is this. They have the two humans on their teams in the NBA who are the least like actual humans, in Giannis and AD. They should dominate inside like they did last night all the time. And while these teams are both a lot more flawed than I think we thought going into Orlando, if they can consistently do that as they should at least get to the finals.
So a big Kentavious Caldwell nope to Mina trying to make playoff KCP a thing. It's not a thing. It will never be a thing. That said, what is it supposed to be?
Playoff KCP.
Oh, God.
It's like a play on. It's fine. Whatever.
So entering the bubble, there were these open questions, right? And I think they're valid open psychological questions. What happens when you remove 25,000 people from an arena? Who plays better? Who plays worse? It seems like that, if anything in sports should have an effect, that variable should have an effect. Things were supposed to get weird. But what we're learning as of now, two games into these series, is that it's probably not going to be as weird as we thought. And mostly, actually, I'm going to agree with Dan. Even while Dan was, by the way, not very subtly describing himself when talking about LeBron bringing on younger people to do all of the work for him, so he has to do less every day.
The reason I agree
with Dan is because it's absurd that the Lakers and the Bucks are in the same conversation here. And I feel offended on behalf of the Lakers. The Bucks have to play the Orlando Magic. The Lakers have to play Damian Lillard, who's averaging like 37 a game in the bubble, and CJ McCollum, who's an all-star guard. All the Bucks and Giannis and the Lopez brothers, who, by the way, if they have a home field advantage, it should be in Disney World. Those combined 21 feet of human being can't stop Nikola Vucevic. That's what their job is. The Lakers have a completely different and harder task.
The Warriors got the number 2 pick last night. Should the rest of the NBA be scared?
I mean, they should just be scared of Steph and Klay coming back early. A few years ago, before they got Kevin Durant, I thought that that threesome represented the greatest basketball team I had ever seen. The fact that it happened to lose in the finals is something that deteriorated their history. But those three guys together with complementary pieces are going to be great. I'm more interested in what happened to Pablo's New York Knicks. They get the 8th pick in a weak draft. Golden State's going to be good either way. But the Knicks, man, we get to keep laughing at them.
Yeah, it was terrifying to realize that, oh, there is Steph Curry, the smiling face of NBA good fortune, and there are the Knicks getting the 8 slot, the very slot behind which Steph Curry was drafted when the Knicks missed out on a complete sliding doors version of their future. But meanwhile, to the Steph Curry end of it, the reason we should be terrified is because Joe Lacob is not going to settle. he is going to go for the most aggressive possible moves here. And that involves either A, LaMelo Ball, who, yes, shot 25% from three, but maybe that matters less on the Warriors where everyone else seemingly can do that job. Or, and again, apologies to Milwaukee, but the guy who said, and Lacob said before last night, he does not do lotteries. He does championships.
Don't do it.
They're going to try and get Giannis. They're going to package this pick and the pick the next year.
Everyone's
going to try and get Giannis. They're going to put in like a Draymond Green or something. And they're going to go and Wiggins and maybe even like, I don't know, Klay Thompson, maybe like, you know, earmuffs. But like you too, maybe. They're going to throw everything at Giannis because that's what Joe Lacob, who named his dogs after Ayn Rand characters and also Larry O'Brien, that's what that guy's going to try and do.
The rest of the NBA must hate the Warriors so freaking much, right? I mean, basically what happened this season is they burned down their house, collected the money, and then it turned out the whole time Steph and Klay have been living in a house up the street. I realize I just described a classic case of insurance fraud, but that's what happened, or the net effect of it anyways. The only comfort they can take is that, as you'll hear a million times, this is not a great draft. There are not that many viable trade targets for the number two pick. And I really don't believe Milwaukee would give in. The rest of the NBA should all get together. And again, I realize I described insurance fraud earlier. This is now collusion. But they should say, guys, don't. Let's just not. Let's not deal with them. Come on. Come on. Let's just sit this one out.
Let me tell you something. You did much better with insurance fraud and collusion than old Ayn Rand did over here at the end, where he just wanted to throw in, hey, I've been reading a lot of books and I wanted to tell you a little extra information that doesn't have anything to do with anything we're talking about here.
The Fountainhead. You guys get that reference, right? Everybody knows The Fountainhead.
Jesus, honest to God, you're expecting a lot from the audience, dude. They should know that the Lopez brothers have a home on Disney World, and they should be familiar with all Ayn Rand stuff.
Is this not the audience we have at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on a Friday?
Isn't it Ayn Rand also?
That's the other thing.
You know, you can just cut
Did I say
that part
that wrong?
Out. Just cut that part.
Cut
out.
It. Cut it out if I was wrong, but keep it if I was right.
Yeah, and yeah, reverse for me, please.
Or just keep all of this, and let's move on to the next question.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
He stopped to respect the game and respect his play-by-play craft while disrespecting the people he was apologizing to.
What are your feelings about the Tom Brenneman incident?
We do not have enough time in this show to dissect this accurately because you rarely get this combination of serious and also awkwardly funny, because usually some of these things have to be taken so seriously that you're not allowed to laugh around them. But how can you listen to this apology after a gay slur has been uttered at a live mic during the first game of the doubleheader and the team makes the mistake of allowing the guy to apologize for himself on air, and then he has the ill-timed comedy effect of respecting the game during his apology, a Royals-Reds game during the apology, in a perfect comedic fashion where you can hear the comedic notes of I'm a man of faith with a crack of a bat coming next. And look at this.
I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart, I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. So I'm going to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck, for the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am, and never has been.
All right, that's not who I am. Usually you're more who you are around microphones that you don't think are on than microphones that you do think you're on. He's a professional communicator, and he spit that particular word in a way like he had a lot of practice with it. It wasn't a mistake or an error as much as it felt like an expertise, because it was spit. But I would ask you to simply consider this, okay? He stopped to respect the game and respect his play-by-play craft while disrespecting the people he was apologizing to because he didn't respect them enough while trying to save his career during that apology. Let that echo for you. He stopped to respect the game, respect his play-by-play. The disrespect, that apology was insufficient, and you see him trying to correct it now to save his job. He might actually be able to save his job in Cincinnati, shockingly, because of the generational respect that name has in that market with that club.
So the question was, how do I feel about this story? What are my feelings? And I guess my answer is that my feelings matter a hell of a lot less than the feelings of the people who are being targeted. And those people get lost in this always, often when we talk about these stories. And in fact, the LGBT community, they're being doubly hurt, right? Because there's the initial pain of hearing that sort of phrase, knowing that in 2020, there are still people who feel that way about you. And then the secondary pain of seeing those words minimized or defended or, you know, diminished by people who are more worried about the slippery slope of accountability than the pain that people like you feel. I am someone who thinks apologies can be real, although I believe the degree to which he changed his tune so quickly does merit scrutiny. But ultimately, this story is no longer about Tom Brenneman, or it never was for me. It's about people who deserve a lot better, not only from him, but from all of us when we talk about what happened.
Yeah, the question is whether you want those people, gay people specifically in this case, to feel welcome, to feel included after decades of them explicitly not feeling that way. And so to me, that's a no-brainer, right? Like, yes, that is a priority, and some of the Reds players echoed that immediately on Twitter. But it is so telling, Mina. Tom Brenneman was a victim before he even got off air. Tom Brenneman, he heard from his broadcast partner as he was making his way off set, getting pulled for a relief broadcaster. He was told, you're a good man, hang in there. It's not about Tom Brenneman. Like, right now, the conversation has already spun, Dan, to cancel culture. And look, whatever your thoughts about cancel culture and the idea that our bounds of respectability and permissibility are shrinking day by day in 2020, a separate conversation, right? But this, even by that broad or specific definition, is not that. This is not cancel culture. If you did this in 2005 or 2010 or 2015, I would hope the outcome would be the same, because you explicitly said a slur on camera when you did not think the cameras were on.
It's interesting, one of the things that you say there about cancel culture, because one of the first into the breach was Kurt Schilling saying, I'm sure cancel culture will end up overreacting to this mistake. And as I said, it came with a certain practice expertise that made it feel more like an expertly said word by a communicator than it was an error by a communicator. And the idea that Kurt Schilling would make Brenneman a victim here immediately by calling it simply a mistake, that's not a mistake, Kurt. A mistake can be, you know, losing your baseball fortune and $75 million in Rhode Island taxpayer money to build and bankrupt a video game company. That's a mistake. This was not a mistake.
Do you question if MLB is soft for being so mad about Trevor Bauer's cleats?
All right, let's go back a ways here, because Joe Kelly, you may remember this, he threw at some Astros and then he made a kissy face at the Astros because everybody hates the Astros. And Joe Kelly is a warrior on behalf of the people here. He's throwing at Astros and he's ripping them on podcasts and he's striking them out and telling them, yeah, nice swing, B word, and then faces. Yeah, a bunch of faces there. And now Trevor Bauer, who is not bashful in any way. Trevor Bauer is actually a spike of attitude in that sport that you usually don't see. He wants to free Joe Kelly on his shoes. And here's the photographs of that. You've got freeing Joe Kelly, because this is the crisis that American 2020 needs to have heard in sneaker form. You can't really let him wear that out there, can you, Pablo?
No, I mean, this is like showing up to high school and on your white t-shirt, you've scrawled in marker, suspend me, Principal Manfred. Like, this is why you're doing it. It's explicitly to troll MLB. So, and by the way, these custom shoes look terrible. Like, those letters don't even match up. Like, the lines of the font are jagged and it's so low res. And it's just clearly an attempt to troll, which I respect on that level. But of course it was going to end like this, Trevor Bauer. Come on.
We're in the middle of a pandemic and you're criticizing the craftsmanship of the custom shoes he had turned around, by the way, in a matter of
absolutely
weeks. That is remarkable, almost as remarkable as how predictable everything about this story is. Like, if you had presented it to me as a redacted report with all the names blocked out, I would have bet my life savings that it was Trevor Bauer. Just no question.
How dare you question my taste in production values, Mina? Do you not see the curtain?
No, but she's right about this. You're always the critic. No, yeah, she's so right about this. Always the critic, no matter what story we put in front of you. Oh, I could have had better shoes because I'm Pablo Torre. I'm the coolest during a pandemic. I can make my protest super creative and more stylish than you as well.
Dan, congratulations then on being the critic of the critic of the critic. That's a real brave position you just took.
I love doing that. That's one of my moves for decades. Don't tell ESPN. I built an empire on it.
Do you question if Elijah Taylor deserved to be suspended for the rest of the season?
Oh, we love when our athletes fall into the temptations of athletic cliche. Mina's poor Seattle Seahawks had a player who tried to sneak a woman in as a football player. I don't know that dude's name. I don't know anything about his life other than he tried to do that. And now this Australian football star is being gone for a season because he tried to sneak a woman into the Australian bubble. Pablo, this is the most obvious thing. Reckless young people, searching for sex, the world. This is something that is happening all over the world, and it's going to penetrate the bubble. Sorry for the verb choice.
You are not sorry for the verb choice. Beyond the fact that this woman allegedly crossed the golf course and may or may not have hopped fences to get to the compound, the point that this was elevated to the level of the highest politicians in the land is such a difference here between Australia and America. Australia does not merely see this as a violation of the sports protocol. They're like, we're doing a pretty good job with this thing. How dare you try and do this? Of course, a suspension for the year makes sense to Western Australia.
The fact that the woman outran security and hopped a fence is not a sidebar. That is the story here, okay? Between her and the woman that the Seahawk tried to sneak in wearing a Seahawks jersey, these athletic exploits should not be ignored. They should be commended. They should band together and form their own team.
I just want to commend Mina Kimes on somehow not going into her terrible Australian accent in answering this question.
Oh, thank you for not doing that, Mina. But now you've encouraged her. Look at her. She's going to do it now. And it's not probably going to be very good, but let's encourage her. All right, Mina, let's see. Let's hear it. Let's hear the Australian accent.
I'm not like a monk. I'm not going to dance for you guys and just do accents.
She would have
on
so
command.
Done it if I hadn't asked for it. She would have done it if I had not requested it. She would have immediately gone into it. I'm guessing you get it before the end of the show that she's going to actually
didn't
do
she
it.
Hire? Didn't she literally hire an accent coach, Dan?
On
she
her own terms. She will look. She's not a piano bar. She will do it on her own terms. You watch though. You will hear from Australian Mina before the end of the show.
Tonight at 6:30 p.m. Game 3, 76ers and Celtics.
All right, you may know that Pablo Torre fancies himself the high priest of the process, claims to have actually created that phrase, and now the process is under some serious duress. Pablo has been defending this thing like a cathedral for a long time, and now here's Joel Embiid on the bench just suffering, just misery as this thing crumbles.
If you want to lead a franchise back to prominence, you have to take that on your
poor
shoulders
guy.
And understand that's part of the job description.
I'm telling you, Pablo, like this guy's physical body. There it is. Yes, exclusive Wired for Sound audio. Pablo, defend your man. Defend your team. Defend your process.
You know what? The real babies are you guys. You're the babies. I'm not the baby. You're the babies. You're the guys all talking about the process and how, oh, this ruins the process. The process died when Sam Hinkie was ousted in one of the grandest NBA conspiracies that no one wants to talk about. No one in the MSM wants to talk about it except for me. But I'm the baby. I'm the baby because I say the truth. And yeah, me and Joel wear our emotions on our sleeve. I'm sorry. I'm sorry we are human beings who tell the truth. Really?
Mina, are you intrigued?
I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to reveal this on national television, but before this series, Pablo Torre texted me. I'm torn here.
Cut this part. Cut it.
Because I want the Sixers to win, but I don't want them to succeed without Ben Simmons.
What? Oh my God.
That's like a federal indictment should come down on you.
And you know what? First off, number one, cut it. Number two, you know what? I was right. They're terrible without Ben Simmons. They needed Ben Simmons, and you laughed at me because I said exactly that. I am not apologizing for anything. I was right the entire time. The prophecy came true again.
All right.
That's all the time we have for today. Obviously, Pablo Torre, very thirsty there at the end of a show, making a lot of highfalutin references. Check out Mina Kimes, the Mina Kimes podcast featuring Lenny and also Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily. Here it comes, Pablo. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Good day, mate.
Oh, I forgot about it. I actually forgot about it. And Dan ran away like a guy who pulled a pin on a grenade and just left me to take shrapnel to the face.